And if a person should seek out a shepherd who's nearby, who's close, that's the position of Rabbi Hashem.
The question is, Hashem is always nearby. Anytime a person wants to daven, he can daven. What does that mean that you should seek him out when Hashem's nearby? He's close. So the Gemara says that the pasuk is referring to the 10 days, which include Rosh Hashanah up until Yom Kippur. Those 10 days, although Hashem is always close, a person could always reach out to Hashem, but during those 10 days, Hashem extends a hand to us. A person, a davening, which would normally not be accepted all year, on those 10 days, Hashem will accept that shuva. Hashem will accept that davening, accept that tefillah. And it's an opportunity for us to, these 10 days are an opportunity for us to take advantage of this fact that Hashem is extending a hand, that we could do tshuva. And to take advantage of this opportunity, Mrs. Bookson and the Elder Tree Shul have invited the Rosh HaKolel, Rosh HaYeshiva, Rinam Pamut Chacham, somebody I've learned a great deal from, Rav Dom Blumen Shlita, to speak here today. I really appreciate his efforts in coming today, and hopefully we'll learn a lot from the Shir today.
Okay, thank you very much, Avraham. It's truly a pleasure to be here. Firstly, Gir Sidi Ankasa, the Lower East Side, was a place where we all went before the Yom Tovim, for the Lulav, for the Esrig, for Svarim, to buy other articles which are necessary for a Yiddish Shtub, and to be in this beautiful shul adds to the excitement, so it's truly my pleasure and my privilege to be here to share with you some machshavas, which hopefully will be helpful preparing for Yom HaKadosh, Yom HaKippurim. And we're going to base it on the Rambam. The Rambam has 10 prokim in Hilchos Tshuva, and it's been said in the name of Reb Chaim, I can't vouch for the authenticity, that it was meant 10 prokim to learn a perek a day during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. If that's true, many of us maybe are a little behind the schedule, but it's never too late. I just want to expound in Rabbi Avraham's thought about utilizing these days to the best of our ability. There is a famous verse from Yisrael Salanter. The Gemara says in Masechta Yuma that Rav had a milsa with a tabach, with a certain butcher. There was some sort of friction. The butcher was disrespectful to Rav. When it came Erev Yom Kippur, Rav decided to walk across town, present himself in front of the butcher, so the butcher would have an easy time asking Mechila, we know, to get up, knock on the door. To ask someone forgiveness sometimes is not so easy. You have to break the ice. But Rav said, listen, let me make it easy for him. I'll present myself at his doorstep, I'll smile, then he'll be encouraged to ask me mechila. When Rav Huna saw him walking, he said, Rav, where are you walking? He told him the story. He said, Rav, you're going to kill the butcher. The Gemara continues that Rav arrived at the doorstep of the butcher. The butcher raised his eyes and he saw Rav, and he said, Zeal, I don't want anything to do with you. Meaning, he was not touched by Rav's gesture. He went back to his butcher work, and he had an axe, and he was chopping an animal, and a bone was severed, and it went and hit him in the throat, and he died. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter asks two questions. Number one, where did Rav learn this hanhaga, this generous activity to make it easy for someone to ask mechila? And the second question, he says, what's the meaning of the end of this story? That the butcher was killed, and Rav Huna predicted these. He said, Rav Ozel, Rav, you're going to kill the butcher. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter gives explanation that when Rav did something, everything was rooted in the Torah. And the Torah teaches us, V'halachta b'drachot, you should walk in the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam, during these 10 days, like Rav Roman mentioned, is close to us. Dear Shashem Bihimotzai. Akla Noisin Yaglapaisha. Rabbi Shalom outstretches his hands. For people who commit sins, he says, my hand is outstretched, take it. So therefore, Rav saw that even though someone sinned against you, you should create the atmosphere and the environment that it's easy for the person to ask Mechila. The Ribbono Shel Olam does that to us. We sin against the Ribbono Shel Olam, and still the Ribbono Shel Olam during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva comes to us, so to say, and he makes it easy for us to ask Mechila. That's what Rav did. Rav learned from the Ribbono Shel Olam that's the correct behavior to do. However, we see from the end of the story that once a person has the opportunity to ask Mechila easily, if a person has to ask Mechila, he has to go across town, it's uncomfortable, it's not so easy, that's one thing. But if a person has an easy opportunity to ask Mechila, he doesn't take advantage of, then the aveira is compounded, because it's easy. Why not do it? So therefore, that's why the butcher was killed, because he had the opportunity he didn't take advantage of. Says Rabbi Yisrael, the same thing during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. True, it's an opportunity, but it's a responsibility. The opportunity is tremendous. The Ribbono Shel Olam saying, come, ask me Mechila. I'm willing to give you Mechila. Just ask. Work on yourself a little. I'm making it easy. It's easy, so therefore it's a great opportunity. But says Rabbi Yisrael, the responsibility is awesome. Because since it's easy, what's your excuse? Why didn't you do it? It's easy to do. So therefore, we learn that the opportunity is great, but the responsibility is awesome. There's a puzzling paradox. We find in Navi, in Yechezkel, that there was a time post-Churban that Klal Yisrael did not believe in Tshuva. They didn't believe in Tshuva. And Klal Yisrael said that we are going to die with our sins. They didn't believe Tshuva is going to help. And the Navi said, Dato ben Odom Emro Beis Yisrael Kena Martim Lamer Kipshayna V'chataseinu Oleinu So we find a situation that Klal Yisrael was skeptical. Tshuva's not going to help. And the Navi was sent by the Ribbono Shel Olam, don't worry. You come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, ki lo yechbois b'mois ha-mes. Ribbono Shel Olam says, I don't want to be vindictive. I don't want to punish you. Return, and I will accept you. So, Rabbi Yisrael's Talmud says it's somewhat of a contradiction, a paradox between generations. That was a generation post-Churban. They didn't believe in Tshuva. They were a generation that saw tremendous things happen among great people. True, the Churban happened. But they understood clearly the Ribbono Shel Olam, they believed in him. The thing that they didn't believe was in Tshuva. If I'd ask anyone present today, we all believe in Tshuva. You may say it's difficult to do, but we surely aren't fatalistic about our future. We're all saved. I ask every single Yid, I say, do you believe you could get a kapara to do Tshuva? In unison, everyone will ask yes. What happened at the time of the Churban that they were skeptical and they thought Tshuva would not be effective? Says Reb Itzel Mipetterberg, the Talmud of Reb Yisrael Salanter, it's not that their Amuna was less than ours and our Amuna is greater than theirs, no. We have a cavalier attitude concerning Chet. We don't see that we have to change so much. Ruch Hashem, we're good. I'm not coming to say we're not good, but we do have chatoyim we have to reckon with, and we say, fine. You know, we come to daven, we give tzedakah, we learn, and Ruch Hashem, we do. So we view chet as something relatively benign. So therefore, we tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, Tshuva, we believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, he'll forgive us, lo malori. They understood what a chet means, what a sin means, what it means to embarrass somebody, what it means not to keep Shabbos, even b'shoigeg. They understood what it was. They understood what it was. They didn't understand. How could Tshuva help? because they knew what it meant, and they knew how severe it was, and therefore they were a little bit skeptical about tshuva. We feel it's great. We're not so bad. We're not, but whatever we did wrong, nishkefela. We believe the Ribbono Shel Olam could forgive us. And really, I would say, the olive of preparing for Yom HaDin is not to be hard on ourselves and rough on ourselves and think we're so terrible, but to realize we do have to make an honest reckoning. And the things that we realize are wrong need correcting. And when we're wrong, we're wrong. And a chet is a chet. And it's a tremendous chesed that the Ribbono Shel Olam does when he gives us tshuva. Because tshuva is something that is beyond the Shuras HaDin. It's beyond the logical Shuras HaDin that should happen. The Chofetz Chaim, let me share with you a question that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the great Rosh Yeshiva, asked the Chofetz Chaim, his Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I don't understand. The Messias Yesharim and Chazal say that tshuva is such an unusual happening, it shouldn't happen. There's no way you could undo what you did. The Messias Yesharim says, a person killed, even a murderer could do tshuva. Hare Rotzach, because you regret it, could you uproot the murder? You machal Shabbos. You embarrass a person. You don't get up at the time you should get up to say Kriya Shema, all the myriad of chatoyim. There's no way to correct. If Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'll do you a tremendous chesed, and I am going to forgive you and take away the chet retroactively as if you never did it. But that's not something that really by logic should happen. The Chazal said, the Torah said, a person of sin should die, a carbon. The Kabbalah said, maybe bring a carbon. We didn't see al pi seichel any way that tshuva should operate. That's what Chazal teaches us, and the Messias Sharm expounds upon this thought. So Rabbi Chanan says he doesn't understand, Rebbe. The Gemara says in Kedushin, if a person goes over to a woman and says, I am going to marry you on a condition that I'm a tzaddik gomer. That's what the Gemara says at the end of the first paragraph. I'm going to marry you on the condition I'm a tzaddik gomer. And this person was a Russia governor. He did anything that you could think of. He was a Reitzeach. He was a Machal Shabbos. He was a Ganef. The Gemara says, it may be Kedushin. Why? Shema, hearer, tshuva, believer. Maybe in his heart, he said, I'm doing tshuva. So the Gemara said, Shema, tshuva, hearer, believer, and tshuva erases it retroactively. And then the Gemara gives another case. I'm Bekadosh, a person, Almanas, that I am a Rosh Hashanah. I'm a totally wicked person, and he's a tremendous tzaddik. So the Gemara says, how could you have a Chavmi that it's a tshuva? He says, I'm marrying the woman that is a Rosh, he's a tremendous tzaddik. Maybe it was Tayyar Mishaynus. Maybe he regretted all the good deeds he did, and that takes away his good deeds. A person does a good deed, and he regrets it, it wipes it away. So the Chofetz Chaim was asked by his Talmud, Rebbe, I don't understand. If you regret a good deed, it goes away. That seems to be seichel. That seems to be logic. How else could you erase a good deed? So why, when you regret an aveira, is it such a chesed for the Ribbono Shel Olam that it's wiped away? If you could wipe away a good deed, you should be able to wipe away a bad deed. So why do we get so excited and say tshuva is something against logic? There's no way you can erase an aveira. I see you can erase a mitzvah. If you can erase a mitzvah, you can erase an aveira. Erasing a mitzvah, it only happens because that's what logic dictates. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to give us a chesed to erase a mitzvah. Why should he take away what is natural? It must be erasing a mitzvah is something that is logical. But yet, when it comes to an aveira, we say you can't erase it. If I say I did an aveira and I want to erase it, it can't happen except for this tremendous chesed of tshuva. That's the question. Here's the contradiction. Erasing an aveira shouldn't be able to happen if not for a tremendous chesed of tshuva. Erasing a mitzvah happens just as a matter of course. So why can't we erase aveira? Let me tell you, to answer the question with idea, you said in an attitude. We have to understand that we are servants of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why we're here. And we have to listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam regardless of he gives a schar or he doesn't give a schar. We have to listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we do something wrong, we're like an Eved who did something wrong, then we deserve a punishment. If we do something right, we don't deserve a reward. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a reward as a chesed, because that is the Ribbono Shel Olam, kulay chesed. But it's not something we deserve, because we belong to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if we say Yigdal in the morning, we say, Goyma Noisin L'Rosha Ra K'Rishasai, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives punishment to a Rasha, but when it says in the next sentence, Goyma Lish Chesed, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives a reward which is called Chesed, K'Nefalai. Punishment, we deserve. Reward, just like in the United States, you do a crime, you get punishment. You live by the laws, no one gets a reward. You can't petition Congress to say, I didn't do anything wrong, I paid my taxes, I didn't go through a red light, I didn't murder, I didn't steal, give me a reward. What do you mean? That's the obligation of the citizen. But if you do something wrong, you go to jail. The same thing. We're the Ribbono Shel Olam's people. We live in his land. We have to keep the halacha. If we do something wrong, we get punished. If we do something right and we keep the laws, we don't really demand and deserve a reward. But the Ribbono Shel Olam will give us a reward. Noisei l'rosh harok harishasai, goyim oli shesed kimifole. If so, it's really understood very well. If you do something good and you regret it, the Ribbono Shel Olam will say, listen, you don't deserve a reward. You want me to give you a chesed, you're not going to get it because you regret it. But when you do a chet, you deserve a punishment. There's no way to erase something you deserve. That was puzzling about tshuva. Tshuva erases something and allows you not to get a punishment though you deserve a punishment. If you regret what you did, which is a mitzvah, you won't get the reward because the reward was never something that was by right yours. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a Baal Ne'eman, he'll give you the reward. But if you regret it, therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give you the chesed of reward. Therefore, Tayel HaRishonis operates when it comes to mitzvahs, but it should operate when it comes to Averis. So therefore, our attitude, when we come before the Ribbono Shel Olam on Yom Kippur, we ask for forgiveness that the Ribbono Shel Olam give us the chesed of tshuva, but a reward which we could also ask for, but it's bederech chesed. We always approach the Ribbono Shel Olam like we say in Slichus, Kidalim hu kiroshim dofku glosecha. We're knocking on the Ribbono Shel Olam's door like poor people, because anything the Ribbono Shel Olam does for us is a chesed. Loi b'maisim tovim. We're not coming b'maisim tovim. We're not coming b'mitzvahs. We're coming with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ask him a favor. Give us the reward, which really, by right, is not something we could demand, and forgive us on our averis, which is the chesed of tshuva. Now, let me explain a step further. The tshuva is a tremendous chesed, and we all have to take advantage of it. But there is a concept which I want to share with the Olam that explains what tshuva does, what it does to a person, and how a person is zoicha to kapara. Now, there's a famous Gemara I'm sure many are familiar with, the Dalit Chelke Kapara. A person does tshuva, all the infractions he has committing a mitzvah essay are gone. If a person does tshuva, all the infractions he has, which are loisaseis, like eating not kosher, that is not gone completely. You need Yom Kippur. If you do an avera, that is yesh b'ikaris, an iser that is not only a law, but it's yesh b'ikaris, tshuva alone can't work, Yom Kippur can't work, you need yisur, affliction, suffering. And then there is a final chel kapara. If a person is mechal l'shem shamayim, a person desecrates the Ribbono Shel Olam's name, there is no kapara until tshuva, Yom Kippur, Yisurim Pemisa. There's a famous Gemara at the end of Yuma, and it's brought down in the Rambam. And it's a little bit disheartening when we look at this Gemara. We're all willing to accept tshuva. Tshuva is something we could do. We put our mind to it, we'll be able to do it. Yom Kippur, we're all able, Baruch Hashem, unless a person is not well, then he has no mitzvah to fast. And if you have no mitzvah to fast, of course Yom Kippur is mechaper the same way. And then Yisurim. No one wants Yisurim. Yisurim is suffering. Like the Gemara in the beginning of Bracha says, the great Amoraim said, Loi hein v'loi scharim. I don't want the Yisurim, I don't want the affliction, I don't want the suffering, and I'll do away with the reward. And then Misa, for Chil Hashem, it's a little bit disheartening, and it's frightening. But let me put it in perspective, exactly what it means. There's another Rambam, a famous Rambam, in Perek Vav, that describes when a person does a sin, it's not something external. It becomes part of him. What do I mean? The Rambam uses very explicit and colorful lashon to explain a chaytei. It doesn't mean one sin. It means a person who's a sinner. He's a meshukis. He's a metuyev. He's a meruchim. He's a sonu. You have to really find the exact translations of meruchik. You're distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're despised by the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're an abomination. You're disgusting. That's how the Rambam explains a chayte. And then the Rambam says, but if you do tshuva, all of a sudden you become a ahuv, you're loved. You become nechmad, you become dear. You become makuriv, you become close. You become everything which you were when you were a chayte, you become the opposite. So you see, tshuva is not just some external mitzvah that transpires, but it changes the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Before, you were a son of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You do tshuva, you become loved by the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does it mean, loved by the Ribbono Shel Olam? He loves you. He acts with you towards kindness. You're his yedid. You're his friend. You're his nechmud. You're dear to him. And tshuva does that. And the obvious question is, but tshuva is so limited, we learn. It only helps on a mitzvah essay. On a mitzvah license day, you need Yom Kippur. On a license day, Sheyesh Bekaris, you need Yisurim, you need suffering, and Chil Hashem needs Misa. So how could the Rambam say, tshuva changes everything? Tshuva seems to be somewhat limited. It can change our lives completely. It really just starts the transformation. But yet the Rambam says, you do tshuva, everything changes right away. Seems to be a contradiction. And let me tell you the explanation. What tshuva could do and what it does do. And the Midrash Chinuch really brings it out in that Gemara I mentioned. The Gemara says, a man went over to a woman, says, I'm being Makadosh you, I'll marry you, on the condition of a tzaddik gomer. He was a rush all his life. There wasn't a bigger rush than this person. Yet the Gemara says, it's a suffix kedushin, shemahir tshuva believer. Maybe he had a certain regret in his heart, and he was about tshuva. So Minchas Chinuch says, number one, we know tshuva needs vidui. Tshuva needs verbal confession. Without verbal confession, tshuva cannot operate. If so, what do you mean shemahir tshuva believer? Maybe this person had a thought of repentance in his heart. It doesn't work. It needs verbalization. Secondly, the question I'm asking you, this person was a Mechal Shabbos. This person was Mechal Shem Shamayim. Tshuva alone is insufficient. So how can we say he had a transformation with tshuva? It's really not enough. You need more than tshuva. You need kapara of Yom Kippur, Yisurin, and Misa. The Teretz says in Minchas Chinuch, there are two different concepts. There's a concept of kapara, atonement, cleansing. That's one concept. That concept could only happen according to Rabbi Yishmael's Dalit Chelki Kapara. To be cleansed, you have to have Yom Kippur. Sometimes you have to have suffering. Sometimes you need Misa, Rachmanu Litzlan. That's for atonement. But if you talk about the status of a person, does he become close to Ribbono Shel Olam? Does he become from Russia to Tzaddik? That has nothing to do with atonement. That has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. That has nothing to do with Yisurim. And nothing to do with Misa. That has nothing to do with verbalization. If a person in his mind decides that he's changing, he becomes a friend of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He becomes a tzaddik. You could put him on the Mizrachman if he wants to sit there. You could give him Shlishi and Kimdumani. He may be kosher for Edus. Because atonement is a different cheshbon. The Ribbono Shel Olam said you have to be cleansed. You have to have atonement. That's a different cheshbon. But if I ask you, what's the relationship with this person and the Ribbono Shel Olam? It's back 100%. It's back 100%. So really, it's true what the Rambam says. When a person does tshuva, even though yesterday he was an abomination, he was despised, he was distant, he was everything you would not want to be with the relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tshuva alone, even believe, it transforms what you are. You become a friend of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam puts you on the Mizrachman and he loves you. But now the Ribbono Shel Olam says, even though I love you, but I still have to deal with your cleansing. But when you deal with a friend, you deal with him in a different way than when you deal with an enemy. The Gemara in Erech says, Hechem Magiyah Yisur. What does it mean, affliction? Does it have to mean, Rahman al-Islam, terrible Yisur, that a person suffers and is in pain? You put your hand in the pocket, you're looking for a dime, and a nickel comes out. We all can live with that Yisur. Nishkefela. When you become a friend of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the cleansing process is a different process. You treat a friend different. And to become a friend of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's relatively easy. You don't need Yom Kippur. You don't need Yisurim. You don't need Misa. You need just a commitment, even in your mind, to change your ways and to repent and to become a better person. Once that happens, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you're a tzaddik. You're a person who I love. You're my friend. You're close to me. It's a whole different relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. On Rosh Hashanah, one of the highlights, at least emotionally, is the tshuva, usvila, ustaka. It's the end of that very touching paragraph, Rosh Hashanah Yikosevu, Unasana Taikiv Kutchas Hayoim, because there it speaks in explicit terms about our future, and we're all touched and inspired by that. And then we end off with Shuva, Usvila, Ustaka, Mavira Nisrayat Zera. It's true, Shuva is repenting. The Rambam says, Midarkia Shuva is Tfila. What does tshuva mean? Because tshuva is asking the Ribbono Shel Olam to forgive you, bakosha mechila, and staka. Staka, one could learn simply, the Rambam says, before a person davens, he gets staka. The Ribbono Shel Olam listens to someone who helps out his children. So if a person helps out another yid, and then he asks the Ribbono Shel Olam for someone, for something, he's listened to. In fact, the Rambam says in Hilchos Matanos Levayanim that if he gets staka before you daven, Rav, he gave staka to Hodder Moxley, the Brisker Rav, when someone would come to him for a bracha, he'd go to the pushka first, put some money in the pushka, and then he'd give a bracha. Because staka helps tefila. But if you want a guarantee that your tefila will be answered, I'll give it to you. From the Rambam, of course. The Rambam says, and if you have an oni on your table, mustachlai, that your tefila will be answered. He gives staka as one darga. That's nice, and that's beautiful. But if you take him on your table, that's already a different darga of staka, treating him like a ben bayit. The Rambam used the lashon, more or less, mustachlai, you are going to be answered. That's staka. Staka helps feel beautiful. And that we have to keep in mind, that tshuva goes with tefila and goes with staka. The Rambam's lashon is midarke hatshuva. But then the Rambam says something which gives us some pause to understand. He said, during Atharis Yimei Tshuva, the Rambam said, You should do mitzvahs, ma'isim tovim, and stoka yetzer mikol hashana, more than a whole year. We know a person is not makbid on Kol Yisrael during Aseret Yimei Tshuva. It's wise to do so. A person is not makbid on Pasaku during Aseret Yimei Tshuva. It's wise to do so. How do you understand that? I saw Rav Aaron Cutler raises the point. We're trying to fool the Rav Yisrael. Aseret Yimei Tshuva, we accelerate our mitzvahs, and then after Aseret Yimei Tshuva, we go back to our old ways. What exactly are we trying to do here? Now, Rav Aaron Cutler gives an interesting answer. He says, Dirshu Hashem v'imotzai. The Ribbono Shel Olam is close. These are days of holiness. When you're in the Beis HaKnesses, you know you have to act different than when you're outside. For instance, many hold a yarmulke is a minute, not a halacha. But in a shul, it's a halacha. Why is it halacha in a shul? Because a shul is a makom kaddish. A makom kaddish demands a different demeanor. So too, these days are days of holiness. You have to be more sensitive to halacha because your standard of behavior is elevated when you go into a place or a time of kedusha. That's how Rav Aaron Cutler explains why during Aseret Yimei Tshuva we have to upgrade our observance. But I want to give a different understanding. And this, I think, is a very basic question, a core question everyone has to ask himself. There's a famous Rambam that says that even though Tkiyah Shofar is a Gezeiras HaKasuv, but there's a remez, right? What is the Shofar for? To wake us up. It's to wake us up. But the Rambam doesn't just say it's to wake us up because we're sleeping and we're not getting up for Kriya Shema, or to wake us up because we're not learning enough. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says a specific type of slumber. What's the slumber? The Rambam says like this. We're addressing a person who forgets the truth, and he's involved, and his mind is diverted, and his mind is clouded because of the hevelei hazman, the stupidities of the world. The Sagan called Shnosim Behevel Verit. In the whole day, we pursue things that are stupid. Asher Loyo Veloyatzliach. What does the Rambam mean? Most people, not Yidden here, or not Yidden in many places. What do? The whole day? Talking about observances, they go to davening. Parnas is a mitzvah. But their idea in Parnas is to make money. They should have a good life. They work for a vacation. They come home, read the paper, maybe they go learn. But if I ask them, what is their aspiration, what is their pursuit, what is their emphasis in life? The Rambam says there are people who basically pursue things that won't help and won't save them after 120 years. So therefore the Shofar is supposed to wake you up and tell you, look at your souls, improve your ways, leave your bad ways and start adjusting your aspirations. Most people, or many people, if you ask them, what do they want out of life? Somebody would say, security. That's fine. Some people maybe have aspirations to be very, very wealthy. Maybe a person says, I'd like to own a string of stores. Their aspirations and their pursuits are basically Olam Hazeh oriented. They're basically Olam Hazeh oriented. That's the fact. If you ask them, what do they want written on their matseva? Of course, they don't want to embarrass themselves after 120 years and say, this person tried to be a rich man all his life. But if the matseva wouldn't be close to them, they say, I'd like to be known as a wealthy person, a successful scientist, a person who enjoyed himself. That's what many people do. The Shofar is not a micro alarm. It's a, if the words are correct, it's a macro alarm. To wake you up your whole way, you gotta change. If I ask you what you want in life, your answer should be, Eilohama. If I ask you, what are you doing in life? What do you want to accomplish? If you could press a button, and the button could give you your wish, what would your wish be? Every year I notice, and I have nothing to do with this, meaning to say, I have no Rebbe in this, but it says in the middle of Kedusha, you can be Mechavim, you can ask for one of three things. I don't know if anyone here noticed it in the Matzah. Maybe it's not in the newer versions of the Matzah. You can ask for Bonim Tzadikim. You can ask to become an Osher Mochlod, a tremendously wealthy person, like Bill Gates. Are you pulling me out of Hashem? Or you can ask for Ruach HaKadosh. I tell you, to me it's a no-brainer. Ruach HaKadosh, would I like to have it? I don't know, I never had it. To be as wealthy as Bill Gates, ich bin moichel. I don't need it. Bonim Tzadikim. If you could press a button and get one wish, what would the wish be? Be a Ramesha Feinstein from the east side. I press the button for that. A Brisker Road, I press a button for that. I mean, me, I'm sure everyone here would do it. But what do you want out of life? What is your main goal in life? That, I think, is a major question you have to ask yourself. The shofar comes to wake you up. It doesn't come to wake you up in a narrow way. Of course we have to be woken up. We have to learn more. Of course. We have to daven better. Of course. We have to get more stuck. Of course. Of course and of course and of course. Even someone who has his head on his shoulders and is directed towards the right goal also has weaknesses. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a pursuit in life. What are your goals? The shofar wakes you up. And we have to come to the Ribbono Shel Olam these days, and we have to tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, do you know something? I have my goals straightened out. I know I'm in this world to do Torah and Mitzvahs. Doesn't mean I retire. A person has to make parnasa. Doesn't mean I don't eat. A person has to be healthy. But it means simply, what will you press that button for? Should it be your only goal? Yeah. That's a very high matreda. But it should be your primary goal. There's a famous pasuk. We all know it. And we say it in the morning these days. Achat shalti meit Hashem oisa avakesh shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. And if we put our mind to it, it's redundant. Achat shalti meit Hashem oisa avakesh. I will ask the Ribbono Shel Olam one thing, and that I will request. To learn, to sin, to face Hashem, to bask in the Shechina. What's the double lashon? Acha sho'alti v'oisu avakesh. The pshat may be, maybe b'derech drush. Imagine a king calls you in and says, I'll grant you one wish. A king, a boss of the tongue, not the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you think to yourself, one wish, ooh, that's very difficult. I could ask him for a job. I could ask him for a summer home. I could ask him for a car, maybe $1 billion. That will settle off and start all my problems or end all my problems. So you think to yourself, I could ask for one thing. But harvei ani mevakesh. But I really want a lot of things. But the king has only given me one request. David HaMelech told the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm asking you for one thing. But make no mistake. I don't have other agendas that I'm not asking you for. That's my one request. That's the only thing I want. And that is the highest madrega. These days, the avoda is to tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, look what I am. I'm your servant. Of course we have to do tshuva, narrow tshuva, as we'll call it, on all the things that we have to correct. But there's a global tshuva. You have to tell the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if you think about it, Yom Kippur is a day we fast. And the Torah says, Yom Kippur, we become like angels. And when we become like angels, the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at Klal Yisrael. They're not eating. Angels don't eat. They have no shoes. Angels have no shoes. We don't partake in worldly pleasures. Angels don't partake in worldly pleasures. It says in the Pirkei de Rabbi Lozner, we say it in the Avodah, at the end of the Avodah, Yom Shein v'tachris. There's no machlokes, we're all friendly with each other. Angels are all friendly with each other. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, your angels I forgive you. What does it mean? Your angels I forgive you. It's a joke. We take off our shoes. Let's all take off our shoes today. Let's fast. It means to say, we become like angels. We turn to Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm like an angel. What's an angel? An angel is created for one purpose. To serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. He doesn't have a mind of his own. He is an evident Ribbono Shel Olam. The avoid of Yom Kippur is to become an angel. But not just to do the superficial external activities of an angel, is to become an angel somewhat. That we have to decide once and for all, what's our goal in life? That proverbial button will make us only committed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore I think that during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, we're marbe b'mitzvos, we're marbe b'tzedakah, we're marbe b'maasim tovim, because we're making a statement to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know what the statement is? That's our life. During the year, I can't do so much. I can't get up to sink during the year. I can't learn so much during the year. I can make parnasa. We understand. But during these 10 days, these are 10 days that are devoted to Ribbono Shel Olam, to make a statement to Him that we're devoted to Him. How do we show that we're living for Him? By doing so many mitzvahs, and by doing so much stucco, and by learning so much Torah, and by engaging in Maisim Tovim, then we tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, we understand the Shofar, we heard the Shofar. The Shofar is Rosh Hashanah. That's the time we should wake up, and we carry it through Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Now let me just say, in conclusion, that we all take Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur seriously to different levels. And that's the key to success. I know people who saw the Bris Kerov on Aseres Yemei Teshuva. You couldn't speak to him. He was terrified. Now if you ask, he didn't have so much to be terrified about. We have a lot more to be terrified, and we're very complacent. That's where we have to work on ourselves and realize your Baruch Hashem is a Baal Chesed. He just wants you to go through the process of coming closer to Him and becoming close to Him. But the avodah is serious thought and reflection concerning Yom Kippur. The Bris Kerov was once lying in bed in a melancholy mood. And Rav Shach went to him and says, Rebbe, what's wrong? He said, what do you mean? Yom Kippur. It's coming up in a few days. He says, Rebbe, but the Torah says that Mikamcha Yisrael, that we have faith and we put white on and we shave and we take haircuts and we get dressed in pretty good, nice clothes. Not as nice as every Shabbos possibly, it says in Shulchan Aruch. We're confident the Ribbono Shel Olam will forgive us. Mikamcha Yisrael. But imagine a person is going before the court and he has a tuft in Torah coming. I don't know if anyone heard the news. There's this woman who was released from Italy. I don't know if anyone listens to the radio here, but there's a woman, I turn on the radio, sometimes the Torah tapes get exhausted. They gavra la gavra, you know. You want to hear something about Eretz Yisrael that needs such rachamim. They described, she couldn't stand. The question is whether to exonerate her or not to exonerate her. She couldn't stand up. You know the tension that a person experiences if he knows in 10 minutes his whole year is going to be decided l'chaim l'mavis with health and non-health, shiduchim, everything. He couldn't stand. You can't stand. So Rav Shach said, but Rebbe, he says, we have the tochim in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mikamcha Yisrael. He told him, Reb Lazer, you don't understand. The Piyut says, Evra mimeke lecha. I will run away from you to you. What kind of double talk is that? I will run from you to you. Says the Piyut means like this. If a person truly believes in the Yom HaDin, he's so petrified that he flees, but he sees he has no place to flee, only back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Evra mimeke lecha. But if a person is not nervous, and he's not concerned, and he doesn't take it seriously, there's no reason to have betochen in the Ribbono Shel Olam. The betochen is generated and emanates from a total convincing self, a total believing self, that you know there's a din, and you run from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then you run back to him. But that's what we have to work on. How do we work on that? By thinking, reflecting. But I'd be remiss if I don't tell you what Chazal tell us. The Or HaTaira. Taira, Taira, Taira. Everything else is important. The Talmud Taira Kineged Kulam. A person who learns his whole life, and I'm sure the Eilam learns, I can speak. When I was in Yeshiva, the Mashgiach used to say, modestly, I'm speaking to myself. I see. When I started to speak, I see I'm speaking to myself. I'm not just speaking to you. The Torah transforms a person. It's not only Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, but it also gives the person the anchor, the knowledge, the ability. Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. It fights the Yetzirah, gives you a proper perspective. And also, if you don't know, how can you keep Shabbos? It says in the Gemara that if a person has Yisurim, he should look why it came upon him. It says, Pishpeis v'loy matzah. Imagine a person suffering, you wake up in the morning, you have a pain in your side, you say, Oyvei, why did this happen? Maybe because I ate without a bracha? No. Maybe because I did something? No. So the Gemara says, Pishpeis v'loy matzah, yitaylum bittul tayra. So the Vilna Gaon says, what do you mean Pishpeis v'loy matzah? Bittul tayra is not an aveira. He said, and he looked through his whole book, he didn't know Aveira. So the Gemara says, and you didn't know Aveira, be titled Bittul Torah. Well, Bittul Torah is not an Aveira. Well, the guy says, very good. He says, you know why you didn't find what you did wrong? Because you didn't learn. You were fatal too much Torah. If he learned, then you know what's right and wrong. Yit with a Bittul Torah. Without Torah, nothing goes. So, Ribbono Shel Olam should help, we should all be Zaycha Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach to Aksiva, a Gemara Simateva, a good adventure, and hopefully from some of these words I'd have a schus if I just inspired someone, even myself, will be good to get a focus and get our priorities right. A good Yor and a Gemara Simateva.
Thank you.